Well, today may be the day that Missouri Congressman Todd Akin drops out of the U.S. Senate race, or he may not do it at all. He's under the gun for comments he made on a St. Louis TV station about rape victims. He said that for women who have been raped, the female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down. That set off a firestorm of criticism, and joining me to talk about it is my colleague at the Star, Dave Helling. Didn't I just see you a little while ago?
You did indeed, about an hour ago.
Welcome back. Always good to have you here. And for our listeners, should Todd Akin stay in this race or not? Or should his comments about rape victims force him out of this race? We want to hear from you. 816-235-2888. Our email address, UpToDate at KCUR.org. And this is easily the hottest political story in the country right now, is it not, David?
Not, again, not just in Missouri, but the entire United States, largely because, first of all, the Missouri Senate seat is considered so crucial to control of the Senate.
Yeah.
Republicans and Democrats
this
believe –
seat might determine if it goes Democratic or Republican. Right.
I'd put it another way. If the Republicans can't take this seat, their chances of taking over the entire Senate are very, very slim. So a lot is riding on the Claire McCaskill-Todd Akin race. And I think it's fair to say, as we sit here a quarter of noon on this day, that virtually every Republican you talk to, Steve, both nationally and in the state of Missouri, want Todd Akin to get off the to withdraw from the race. And virtually everyone thinks he'll stay in, that he isn't listening to any of that, that at the end of this day, 5 p.m., he will still be the Republican candidate for the Senate from Missouri.
So everyone's telling him to get out, Dave, but he's saying he's going to stay in. Why would he say that? As our story today said, the funding has dried up. Virtually every Republican of note nationally and in Missouri is saying no mas to this particular bid. And yet he's saying, I'm still in the race.
Part of it is, I think, just his makeup. He doesn't like to be told what to do by, quote-unquote, party leaders. He's a very conservative guy, has a lot of Tea Party support. And so the traditional signals that party leadership would send to a candidate like that don't really register perhaps as much with Todd Akin. He must believe he still has some core of support. He must also believe that he will be able to raise sufficient money to run against Claire McCaskill. He doesn't need to match her, really, because the Republican nominally is the favorite in the state, as we've discussed so many times. Having said that, to overcome this hurdle, if he stays in, is going to be a massively expensive proposition. He's going to have to buy a lot of television time, not just to apologize, which he's doing in this new ad, in my view, but to try and turn the race back into a discussion of the economy and jobs and Claire McCaskill and Barack Obama. Turning that corner is going to cost a nickel or two, particularly in Missouri, where the media markets are split in some ways. Kansas City in particular, you know, it's a very inefficient market. When you buy Kansas City TV, you're buying half of Kansas, which means nothing in the Missouri Senate race. So he needs to be on the phone raising some money to have any chance. Whether or not that calculus occurs to Todd Akin is not clear.
You know, it's interesting. I got up this morning, checked the email, and there were two emails from the Akin campaign at 6:30 this morning, back to back. So clearly a planned release of information. One email was about Akin's new ad. He's up on TV across the state with a new ad in which he looks directly into the camera and apologizes for his remarks about rape victims. The second email, a blast about new poll numbers from a Democratic polling outfit out last night that show Akin and McCaskill neck and neck in this race. And Akin took that as a sign that, hey, voters are not abandoning him, that he's still very competitive in this race.
Right.
What do you make of a poll like that?
Well, there's some theory that it's actually an effort that the public policy polling outfit is traditionally,
that's the name of the group, right?
Right, is traditionally believed to be Democratic or lean Democratic. They do a lot of polling for Democrats, and that there's some theory that this is an effort by Democrats to make sure Akin does not get out of the race. We've talked about this at length, that Claire McCaskill and the Democratic Party think their best chance is against Todd Akin. Even before this incident, and certainly now with this incident, Claire McCaskill doesn't want to wake up tomorrow and be facing someone else, a John Bruner with $10 million, a Jim Talent, a Joanne Emerson. I mean, she wants Todd Akin. And so there's a theory that this poll was floated as a way to sort of encourage him to stay in the race. There's an enormous amount of high-stakes poker going on both sides, bluffing, not bluffing. And in the center of it really is Todd Akin. And he apparently is going to be on St. Louis radio in about an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, to talk about it. But again, there's no indication that any of this is having any effect on him other than the campaign goes forward.
You know, in fact, this morning I talked to a former staffer of his who said very pointedly that he just doesn't believe that Akin will get out, that his composition, his makeup, as you referred to it, he's a God-fearing man, believes he's in the race because God is speaking to him to make this run, and he's going to stay put for that reason alone.
He did win a three-way primary, a very competitive primary, in which he had the least amount of money of any of the competitors. He had less than Sarah Steelman, less than John Bruner. He didn't have the endorsement of Sarah Palin. He didn't have the kind of operation that Bruner was able to afford, and yet he won comfortably. It wasn't close. So I'm sure part of his calculus is, I do have a pretty strong base of support in the state of Missouri. If I can grow that, raise a little bit of money, turn the election away from these comments onto the economy, that he would still have a chance. Now, that's a lot. You know, that's three-dimensional pool. I mean, there's a lot of bank shots going on. We'd be fools today to suggest how that race is going to turn out. His comments certainly upended our expectations. The other thing to keep in mind, Steve, is you don't know for sure if Todd Akin will have stumbles like this down the road.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of the national Republicans you talk with say, in essence, look, one stumble's okay, two, we get a little queasy. But repeated stumbles on the campaign trail will make a tough race.
And that may
again be
what's behind this just enormous tidal wave of opposition to him now from his own party, because this isn't one mistake which he might have slid by on. This is
part of a pattern. And again, the stakes are so high.
Yeah.
This isn't a Senate race where he's behind by 20 points. It's neck and neck. The fate of the Senate, control of the Senate, could rest on what happens in Missouri. With stakes that high, with that much money involved, the national and, I must say, Missouri Republicans, as you know, because you talked to a lot of them yesterday, on the record, off the record, on background, all want him to go. It's just a question of whether he'll hear that or not, and if he does, how he reacts to it.
And one other factor, before we go to some phone calls here, about Todd Akin, what do you think he should do? Should he stay? Should he jump? 816-235-2888, our email address, up-to-date at kcur.org. Dave Helling from The Star, my guest here. And just one final point before we go to some phone calls. I'm sure you'll agree, Republicans in the state and nationally think this is their seat this year, that McCaskill is such damaged goods. They've already sort of figuratively put this race in their column, and they'd hate to take it out now, given just a few remarks to a TV interview
now,
a few days ago.
We should be clear, though, on the procedure. If Todd Akin were to abandon his race, then the state committee, Republican committee, would select a replacement. And I think, and maybe you would agree with this, the Republicans who want Todd Akin to get out haven't really completely thought that process through yet, because someone, if Akin were to get out, someone would be mad when it was over. I mean, you do have to pick a replacement candidate. You pick Bruner, you make Steelman mad. You pick Steelman, Bruner is mad. You pick Sam Graves, both of the candidates are angry. I mean, you know, it's hard to see how the Republican Party emerges from this incident unscathed. That doesn't mean they can't win. I talked to a bunch of Republicans today who think it can be fixed. Todd Akin could still win the Senate race, but it will take a almost perfect race and a lot of money to get it done.
Why is this even complicated, this notion that if Akin does bow out, and he would have to bow out voluntarily, the state party can't force him out, but if he were to bow out, why is this complicated? Why wouldn't John Bruner, who finished second in the primary, sort of automatically be the one who's
chosen
here, Dave?
Well, he might, actually.
Might be. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
In fact, I talked to a Republican yesterday who said, look, he could write himself a check for $10 million. That solves a lot of problems out of the gate.
He's a wealthy St. Louis businessman.
Very wealthy guy, self-funder, could do it immediately, has a campaign apparatus in place, has toured the state. Of course, the problem with that is whether the Akin supporters who voted for Todd Akin in the primary are angry enough to stay home, let alone what Sarah Steelman's role might be. I did talk to another person in the Republican Party yesterday who said, look, do we want to replace a white St. Louis man with another white St. Louis man, given that you know, a rape is now part of the campaign conversation.
So it gets complicated very
quickly.
So it
gets complicated very, very quickly, and someone comes out of that process angry, and I think the Republicans haven't really thought that through completely.
Lots of phone calls for Dr. David Helling. Let's go to Jennifer from Kansas City, Missouri. Jennifer, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Hey, Dave and Steve. Jennifer Mann calling.
Hi, Jennifer.
I think a big part of why the Republicans want him out of this race is because this conversation that he has started puts a spotlight on a conversation Republicans do not want to have. Todd Akin and Paul Ryan have both supported legislation that would redefine rape as forcible rape. And, you know, this should put a spotlight right solely on Paul Ryan and his policies, and frankly, the policies of the Republican Party. So I'll let you guys comment if you want and take it off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Yeah, I think that's true. Merits of the issue aside, every day the Republican Party is talking about abortion or rape is a day they're not talking about 8% unemployment, a $1.5 trillion deficit. Those are the things they want to really focus on, both in the state of Missouri and nationally. This is the classic definition, Steve, of a distraction. Mm-hmm. It's a distraction for the Republican brand, again, both in Missouri and nationwide. That's why I think they are, as Jennifer suggests, really aggressive to move past this as quickly as possible, but he doesn't want to play along.
Patrick from Lone Jack. Patrick, good morning.
This doesn't go away because what happens is everything else he said now gets redefined and relooked at, and he said some pretty goofy things.
You mean in the other things he said in the past you're talking about?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Patrick, thank you for the phone call. 816-235-2888. Should Todd Akin stay in this race, or is it time for him to go? Let's go to Gene from Prairie Village. Gene, you're on the program.
Hi, thank you. I was totally surprised by this theory, in quotes, of preventing pregnancy through whatever the mechanism is. I'm wondering, if your sense is, does he actually believe that, or does he know that this is some kind of think tank work product that does he not know the difference?
Well, one thing you have to begin to wonder, given the reaction of his own party, a lot of folks are concerned that apparently he may believe this, Gene, and I think that's why a lot of folks have responded the way they have.
Yeah, the main thing to keep in mind is that Todd Akin is extraordinarily – I'm writing a column about this tomorrow, but – he is very conservative when it comes to abortion and does not believe in the right to an abortion, even in cases of rape.
Yeah.
Now, that's
defensible. That's a position somebody could have.
Right. And his,
but the rest of it.
Right.
And
no question. And the problem is, Todd Akin's problem is, when asked that question on television Sunday, he was unable to articulate his position and instead went into this weird pseudoscience that somehow suggests rape victims who get pregnant really weren't raped. That's abhorrent language. No, nope. So his problem as a political matter, merits aside, is he wasn't ready for one of the most basic questions that any Senate candidate will get. And if I heard one phrase over and over yesterday, Steve, maybe you heard it too, was he isn't ready for prime time. Running for a House seat is different from running for a Senate seat, and he just – as your previous caller suggested, it isn't just on abortion, school lunches, stage three cancer for student loans. I mean, those are the things that, as a basic matter, any candidate for the Senate should be able to answer fairly easily without going into the language that Todd Akin did. That's what Republicans are worried about. You've got another 10 weeks before Election Day.
Yeah.
What else is he not ready for?
Gene, thank you. Appreciate it. Let's go to Michael from Prairie Village. Michael, you're on Up to Date with Dave Helling from the Kansas City Star. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Great to be here. I think my point here is that I don't think Akin's going to drop out. I think mostly actually due to age here. I think Akin's a 65.
That's correct.
Running for Senate and not going for his House anymore. And considering he didn't pretty much get any institutional support from Republicans, I think he's probably looking at it from his point of view and say, if I drop out, you know, I really don't have any future left in politics. Whereas in a very competitive race still for Senate, this could be kind of the capstone to my career. So that's my view on it.
Very accurate. I think that is playing a little bit into his decision-making. Also, remember, you know, members of Congress, particularly who are running for office, are responsible not only for their own jobs, but 25, 30 other jobs, chief of staff, press spokespeople, legislative directors, congressional liaison, people back home. All of them face loss of their jobs if he were to bail out. And that's just, you know, they sort of understand that going in, but it's still a fact of life and may play into his decision making as well.
Okay. Michael, thank you for the good call.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Let's go to David online from San Francisco. David?
Yeah. Morning.
Good morning.
It's not quite an afternoon for you. I was interested in the fact that he's on the Science and Technology Committee. And the idea that you've got a guy who, you know, we're first of all, you know, that previous caller who was saying, oh, as if to pity him because it's on his final job, that's nonsense. You know, this guy is getting paid better than $250,000 a year, and he better be up on, I'm not going to pay a guy.
I don't think it's quite that much, David.
Well, considering the perks, Congressman gets quite a bit. And the idea that we're paying a guy to be excellent. We're not paying a guy to be average or dumb, and he's got to be responsible. Science and Technology Committee helps decide whether or not we're going to have good levees in Louisiana. It helps decide whether NASA has good programs. It helps decide whether the medical programs are workable, the spy technology, the everything that America does goes through the Science and Technology Committee.
Right.
And if this guy hasn't got a clue about And the other angle, I heard this on another call-in show. The old witch trials were based on some phony baloney about if a woman was tossed into a river as a trial for being a witch, if she floated, she was innocent, or she was guilty, but if she sank, she was guilty. Or, excuse me, if she sank, she was, well, she was dead, but she was also innocent. So the idea of if a woman gets raped, if she gets pregnant, then she's guilty. If she's innocent, she comes out not pregnant. You know, this is nonsense.
There's no question that it was fairly convoluted. And again, I think as a political matter, Steve, that's the challenge, that he wasn't ready for the question,
right,
which most politicians can answer in their sleep. And Republicans are worried that there may be other similar stumbles down the road.
As you said, a basic building block question in a lot of interviews. Shannon from Overland Park. Shannon, go quickly if you would.
Yeah, the Missouri voters voted for Todd fair and square. You know, they've made their bed. They've got to sleep in it. And they should keep him. And if he doesn't want to go, all the more reason.
Shannon,
That's all.
Yeah,
thanks.
Thank you, Shannon. Just briefly, Dave Helling, we had Congressman Kevin Yoder sitting in your chair yesterday. Big controversy over his skinny dip in the Sea of Galilee. Is he going to survive this controversy that's also made national headlines?
I think so. He's has no opponent, has a lot of money. It does hurt him long term, in my view, in Kansas if he wanted to run for a larger office and he runs up against a Tim Huelskamp or a Mike Pompeo out of Wichita. Both of those will be challenges for him over the years, but I don't think there's an immediate problem. Most of the criticism, by the way, yesterday wasn't so much that he took off his clothes and jumped in the Sea of Galilee, but that he went to Israel on private money, almost $21,000 for his wife's travel expenses and his, privately funded, and some people think that's pretty close to influence buying by this particular lobby, and that might be a problem for him as well.
And that's Dave Helling from The Star. David, always appreciate your time.
Great to be
here.
You
bet. Learn more about our guests. Get more information about our program. It's at kcur.org. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR up to date.